Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. What a great blessing, and I enjoy hearing those great songs. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21, and in just a moment, we're going to begin in verse number 12. I have been speaking on Sunday mornings on the parables of the Bible, and we find these in the New Testament, the Gospel according, of course, to Matthew and different areas that we find this. And this morning, as we come to Matthew chapter 21, we're going to find a parable about two sons that were called to go work. One of them said, "I will not go," but later repented and went to work. The other son said, "Sure, I'll go," but never did go. And there's a great story here that God wants us to understand this morning about this subject. It's time to work for your father. It's time. Now, I grew up in a home where I was the only son, and I had two sisters, and they didn't do much work at all, you know. And no, they did work in the house, but I had a lot of responsibilities as a young man. I'm thankful for that. But my dad would give to me. My dad worked long hours, 9 in the morning till 9 at night, and so the yard and things like that around to do were my responsibility, fixing things. And it was time to go to work. And you know, the truth is, in our Christian lives, God has designed the Christian life that we are to work for our Heavenly Father. And by the way, I am convinced that serving Christ is not an option. For the true dedicated Christian, serving the Lord Jesus Christ should never be an option. It should be something that we are glad to be able to do for our Savior. Matthew chapter 21, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 12. Matthew 21, and let's begin in verse number 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Now in this passage of Scripture, we find many different things. Jesus was busy doing his Father's business. He was busy serving the Lord. He was busy teaching. And the Bible says different things here about Christ. And as he is speaking, now by the way, these were the scribes and Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the area in that day. And by the way, do you know that every church has the scribes and the Pharisees? Every church does. There's lots of Christians that are scribes and Pharisees. They know how to criticize. They know how to pick and nitpick the things of God. But they are not true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let me show you something what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 21. Notice what it says in verse 15. Now think of what is happening. The Lord is working and blessing, but look what it says. And when the chief priests, Matthew 21 verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things, would you underline that little phrase, the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, they were sore displeased. Would you underline that little word, sore displeased? Folks, can I say this to you? We must always guard our spirit and our attitude. Because the scribes and the Pharisees, people were being reached and lives were being transformed and changed. And yet, there were some that were sore displeased. There will always be Christians like that. People that no matter who is getting saved and what God is doing in the church, they're just not happy. Brethren, may I say to you, the Lord dealt with them, harshly with them. Because the Lord's work needs to be done. Let's look on here. In fact, we notice some things about our passage. And by the way, when we come to verse number 28 of Matthew chapter 21, I want you to notice the Bible says, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. Now, this is where I want to bring the message today. The certain man is Jesus Christ himself. This is a unique parable in that Jesus puts himself right in the story. He says a certain man had two sons. Jesus is that certain man. And the first son, the father asked both of the boys to work. And the first son said, I'm not going to work. But then later he repented of that and he went to work. The second son said, okay, Dad, yeah, no problem, Dad. I will work today. But he never worked. And the Lord gives this parable because what he does is, he deals harshly with the scribes and the Pharisees. Notice what he says to them. Basically, he said, John the Baptist came preaching the truth, and you pretended to obey the truth, but you did not obey. And the publicans and the harlots, when they heard John the Baptist, they wanted nothing to do with it, but then the Spirit of God convicted their heart, and they responded. Brethren, can I say this to you? The scribes and the Pharisees, they always look down on the publicans and the harlots. Now, who were the publicans? All right, let me explain this. The publicans were Jews that had kind of sold themselves under the Roman government. And by the way, the Jewish nation hated the rule of Rome over them. They hated it. They despised it. Rome ruled them during that time. But there were some Jews that were willing to go along with the government of Rome, and they sold themselves. And what that meant was simply this. They kind of contracted with the nation of Rome, and they became tax collectors. Now, let me say this to you. I don't think anybody likes a tax collector, you know? But especially in this case where they said, we are going to go collect taxes. Now, there was no rules. There was no regulation over the tax collectors. In fact, they could demand any tax they wanted. Rome kept part of it, but they could keep the rest of it. So the idea was the publicans were hated among the Jews. And by the way, the scribes and Pharisees, they hated the harlots. Now we understand what they were. People that had sold their bodies into slavery. So when Jesus said to them, I'm going to tell you something, scribes and Pharisees. You are religious people, but the publicans and the harlots are going into the kingdom of God before you. Can you imagine the dagger that was to them? Because what Jesus was saying to them, you are just like the two sons. The first son said, I'm not working. And then he repented and went to work. That was describing the publicans and the harlots. That when John the Baptist came preaching the gospel, they said, we want nothing to do with that. But then the Spirit of God began to convict their heart. And they responded to John the Baptist. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the pretenders. They were the hypocrites. They were the ones that said, yes, God, we're doing your work. And they never did the work of God. Brethren, today, it is time to work for your Father. I want to give you some simple thoughts today. I pray that God will help us. And by the way, I want to ask you a question. Who are you like this morning? Are you like the first son? Or are you like the second son? Have you been the type of person, I pray that when you heard the gospel, that you repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or are you the type of person that you've heard it so much that it really makes no difference to you? By the way, you know something, there are people who grow up around Christianity and they take it for granted. It has become so commonplace to them that they are not grateful for the work of God. They do not see how great a work it really is. It's just something they're around. It has become commonplace to them. In fact, do you remember, we think in the Bible about how that the men who carried the Ark of the Covenant, you remember the Bible says they were never to touch the Ark of the Covenant. They were never to put their hands upon it. But remember that day, when one of the sons of the priest reached up to steady the ark, God took him immediately. You say, well, that was terrible. Yes, it was terrible disobedience to God. But the whole idea was, I believe that boy grew up in the home where he saw the ark every single day. It became nothing but a piece of furniture to him. And it became so commonplace that he took sacred things and he looked upon them in a commonplace way. And folks, may God help us to guard our hearts, that we never allow the work of God to become something old and casual to us. That's what these scribes and Pharisees, they were around the temple. I mean, they were around the temple all the time, but they never did the work of God. In fact, they could only criticize. They could only say, look at this. They were sore displeased in the wonderful things that God was doing. Folks, guard your attitude. You know something, we are so blessed here at Grace Baptist Church. We really are. We're blessed. You're blessed to hear good Bible preaching. I'm not saying I'm a good preacher, but you hear good Bible preaching from the Word of God. Meaning that we speak it like the Word of God says it. You know, you hear great music here in the church. We are blessed with beautiful buildings and we are blessed with all kinds of outreach and all of that. But guard your heart by becoming so casual that this is nothing. No, can I tell you something? It is a miracle, the work of God. It really is. God's work is a great miracle in our hearts and we should praise God for it daily. We should thank God that we can be a part of it. But which son are you? You see, we see some things here about the work of our Heavenly Father. It is time to go to work for your Father. Number one, I want you to notice an unfinished work. What is the work of God? It's an unfinished work. Now, how many in here, you are a mother? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right? Okay, very good. Well, I think mothers with children in the home, I think they would say, Pastor, my work is an unfinished work, you know? And I think moms would believe that, you know? I remember years ago seeing a little circus, the comic strip, and the mother, she had all kinds of kids, and she had got the house spotless clean, and she locked the doors to keep them out, you know? And she stood in the house and just looked around at how nice it was, because it wasn't going to stay that way very long, you know? And she locked all the doors. The kids are beating on the doors, wanting to get in, you know, and all of that. But she wanted to see it clean for just a moment. I think moms understand that, you know? You walk in, you're like, I just cleaned up this mess, you know? And I just did the laundry, and now they went outside, and now I have all kinds of loads of laundry to do. Well, you know something, there are many things in life that we would say is an unfinished work. But I want to remind you this morning that the work of God is an unfinished work. It is never complete. Listen, there is coming a day that the trumpet will sound and Jesus Christ is coming again. Our work will be finished then. But folks, until that day, the work of God is an unfinished work. Now look with me back in Matthew chapter 21. Notice what it says in verse 28. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" Now the Lord Jesus is the Father here, and the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he is saying, "Go work today in my vineyard." Why? Because the work of God is an unfinished work. It is not complete yet. By the way, do you know that in every generation, God has given believers a work to do? They have the responsibility to witness and to evangelize their generation. In fact, the Bible tells us about David, that David served his own generation by the will of God. I think that was a great statement in God's Word. Because, brother, listen, my responsibility is not to the generation behind me, in the generation that has gone on before me, but my responsibility is to this generation. Oh, yes, we are to leave a legacy for the generation to come, the praises of God, the wonderful works, all of that. But can I ask you something? Are you serving God in your generation? You see, the work of God is truly an unfinished work. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do we know it's an unfinished work?" Do you know today we live in a world of over 7.7 billion people in the world today? By the way, sometimes we don't think right about our world. Do you know something? In America, there's only 329 million people in America. That only makes up 4.2% of the world's population. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have a missions conference, is to help us to see that we're not the only ones here on planet Earth. We have a world of people, billions of people. Okay, let's take 7.7 billion people in the world today. Of those people, it is estimated that over half the world's population, that's almost 9 billion people, have never heard the name of Jesus Christ in association with salvation. Think of that just for a moment. Over 3.9 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ and that he died for our sins, all right? They also estimate that 1/4 of the world's population has heard about Jesus Christ, but has never trusted him as Savior. That's 1.9 billion people. They also say that 1/4 of the world's population, another 1.9 billion, claim to be Christian, but many of them are only Christian in name. Can I ask you something? Is there still a work to be done here on this earth? Brother, absolutely. There are billions of people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. There is a small percentage of people who are really Christians. Yes, I'm thankful for every child of God. But folks, listen, the work is not finished. And when Jesus said, "Go work today in my vineyard," he was indicating that the work is never finished. By the way, even in America, and by the way, I'm thankful to be an American. I really am. I thank God for the U.S. of A. I'm glad that I can live here. But do you know that in America, more people do not go to church than really go to the house of God every Sunday? Have you noticed that on Sunday, to many people, and let's not look down upon them, they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. But for some people, it's just another day. It's another day to work, labor. It is another day to do whatever they want to do. There's no regard for God and His house. And folks, it is a sad statement today because there is still a work to be done. By the way, how many people do you think still need the Lord today? Oh, there are billions. There are so many of them. Folks, that's why the Lord says, go work today. This is a time to work. And look here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should be working for the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? I don't know your life, but what are you doing in the Lord's vineyard to work for Him today? I'm not asking what you plan to do. By the way, do you know that all of us are great Christians just sometime later? By the way, maybe many people already think about this. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe you're thinking right now, when the new year comes, I'm going to get on a diet, all right? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? And you know, it's good to rationalize that because we think, hey, Thanksgiving's coming, so buddy, that's not a time to start a diet. And Christmas is coming, that's definitely not a time. I'm waiting till the new year, you know? Now look, we laugh about that because we know it's true. But let's think about this just for a moment. How many people are just waiting to that opportune time to serve the Lord? I'm waiting, Pastor, until I retire. I'm waiting, Pastor, until this happens. Guess what? If you wait until certain ingredients are right for you to serve God, you'll never serve the Lord. Never. What if the farmer said, I'm just waiting till the weather is just perfect for me to do work in the field? Well, then work would never get done. There would never be a harvest. And the same emphasis is true. Listen, if we are waiting for something to change in our life or for something to come to pass, we will never really serve the Lord. It is an unfinished work. It is not enough to say, yes, sir, God, I'll go, and then sit down and not go, because that is the second son. The first son said, no, Lord, I'm not going. And then he repented and did the work. The Lord commended that son. But are you the son that says, yeah, sure, Lord, I'll go, and you never go? By the way, think just for a moment. Now look, I'm your pastor and I love you, but I want to help you today. I want you to listen to me. Think how many people come to church every single Sunday, listen to the preaching, they sing the songs, but they never serve God. You say, well, what do you mean about serving God? They never teach a Sunday school class. They never pray for the meetings. They never witness to a soul. They never give out a gospel tract. They never try to bring anyone to church. They never share the gospel with anyone. Can I just be as kind to you as I can? And I don't know who you are, but I'm going to tell you something. The Lord would say to you that the publicans and the harlots are better than you are. You see, when Jesus said that day, can you imagine the anger that the scribes and Pharisees had? They probably thought, who are you to tell us? We are the religious people. We hang around the temple. But Jesus said, you need to get out of the temple and you need to go do the work of the Lord. And folks, listen, if we are just coming, look here, I'm going to say this to you. I commend you for coming to the house of God. You should be in the house of the Lord. We should come and bring our families and bring our Bibles and ready to listen and ready to obey. But if all we're doing is coming and sitting and going back to our own lives, listen, there's coming a day when we're going to stand before God. And the Lord is going to ask us, why did you not work in my vineyard? Do you know that the Lord's vineyard is this world? In fact, the Bible talks about the Lord of the harvest. We are to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into His harvest. Listen, it's His harvest. This is His church. These are His people. And folks, if we are not working for the Lord. Now look, I'm not saying today that we are to work for our salvation. Oh, Jesus took care of our salvation on the cross when He bled and died for the sins of all mankind. But once we know Christ, we should be serving Him. We should be laboring for the Lord. Are you doing anything for the Lord? Are you passing out gospel tracts throughout the week? Are you praying for God to work in the meetings? Are you assembling Bibles? Are you singing in the choir? Are you helping with an instrument? Are you working in the nursery? Are you teaching a Sunday school class, helping on the bus route? You say, Pastor, there's nothing for me to do. Let me say this to you, though. There is plenty to do. There is more work than what we could ever imagine because it is an unfinished work. Folks, how long has it been since many of us worked hard to get someone to church? By the way, last Sunday, we had a great day with Veterans Sunday, you know, Armed Forces Day that we call it. And I think we had probably 20 visitors last Sunday. Can I tell you something? That wasn't me. I didn't do that. The staff didn't do that. Can I tell you who did that? That was the people in our church. That was you inviting people. That was you saying, come, I want you here. Come and be a part of this. And guess what? The gospel was given and God used you. You say, well, someone may not got saved, but I'm going to tell you this. You were doing the work of the Lord. It is an unfinished work. But number two, it's an urgent work. Notice back in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 28, he said this, son, go work today in my vineyard. Now, there are two parts of the ideal of doing the work of God today. The first part is that the harvest is passing. Do you know that if we do not reach people now, there is coming a day that judgment is coming? And by the way, the very idea that if we do not do the work urgently, many will die and spend eternity in a Christless hell because we are not doing the work. So that's the first part, is that if we do not do the work, people will not hear. But the second part of the urgency has to do with the laborer. Now, parents, how many has ever asked your children to do something that would have probably taken them 15, 20 minutes to do, but it took them 2 hours to do? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up high. All right. You have kids just like we have kids. All right. And children are the same. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever watched them do the work before? They stop, eat a snack for 5, 10 minutes, you know. They're hungry. They've been working for 5 minutes, you know. And then it's time to, you know, maybe play a game, do whatever. And it just takes them forever. You know, it takes forever. It's kind of funny, being the principal of our school, sometimes parents will say, boy, my child was doing homework for 4 hours last night, you know. They're in the second grade, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, do they do their homework in front of the television? Yeah. I said, that's probably not the best thing, you know. And look here, it is so easy, is it not, to get distracted from what is the work of the Lord. It should be an urgent work. It should be something that we say, hey, listen, we can't wait on this. We must serve God now. We must labor for the Lord now. If we are waiting for the right time, if we're waiting until circumstances are exactly the way we want them to be, we will never do the work. It is an urgent work. By the way, let's think, parents, just for a moment as we think of children. What if your child had some kind of disease or had some kind of sickness, and it was so important that you get them to the hospital immediately? Let's take, for instance, all right, what if your child had an allergic reaction and you did not have an EpiPen? You did not have something to reverse that allergic reaction, and it was serious, and you knew that if you did not get them to the hospital, they were going to die. Would that be urgent for you? I'm going to tell you something. I'd do whatever it took. I mean, I would do whatever it took. I mean, it would be so urgent. It would not be, well, I think we maybe need to go to the hospital. I wouldn't act that way. You wouldn't act that way. Because we care about our child. We would say, we're going to get there now. And we're going to do whatever it takes to get them help. Why? Because our love and care. But how complacent we get about the work of God. How careless we get. Well, you know, if I come, that's good. If I don't, that's okay. If I share the gospel, that's fine. Listen, we ought to get urgent about our family members that don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen, I know the work of God is a spiritual work, and the Holy Spirit is the one that does His work in the hearts of people. We understand that, but the Lord is looking for laborers that are urgent about the matter. You know, for instance, we live in a society today. And I'm not speaking of you, and I'm not speaking of everyone. But there are many people in our society that just don't like to work. You know that. I know that. Have you ever been somewhere before and you know someone does not like their job and they're trying to help you, you know? You want to say to them, sir, ma'am, go do something that you enjoy because this is miserable for me and you both, you know? Because you know they don't like to work. And I'll tell you how you know they don't enjoy the work. They're not urgent about it. It's not important to them. It is something they can take it or leave it. But listen, we love it when we see a worker that is diligent, a worker that is on time, a worker that works hard and labors and does his or her best for the glory of Christ. But God wants workers today that are urgent, that says, man, you know something, I don't know how long I have here on this earth, but while I have time, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful to His house. I'm going to be faithful to tell others about Jesus. I'm going to serve the Lord while I can. That is an urgent work. You know something, once again, if you are saying this morning, well, Pastor, I just don't have time. Have you ever thought before to yourself, I don't know where my time goes. I don't have the time to do what I really should do for the Lord. Well, you know something, we ought to come before God with our time. We ought to come before God with our appointments and our calendars and our weekly schedule. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to say, Lord, I want you to put your finger on anything of lesser importance so that I can do the greater thing. By the way, do you know that nobody here has time to serve God? Nobody does. You say, well, Pastor, I do. It's because you make time to serve God. I've talked to people before about coming to church, and they say, well, I just don't have time to go to church. But you know something, the truth is, they have the time. They just don't want to take the time to go to the house of God. Some people say, well, I just don't have time to take care of that. No, we give time to what is important to us. We give time to what matters to us. We give time to what we value. By the way, I don't know that there's been many times when we missed a meal and we said, boy, I forgot to eat all day long today. Have you ever done that? No. I don't think any of us done that. But about 12 o'clock, you know, your stomach thinks your throat's been cut. You know, I mean, it's serious business, you know. I've said this joke before, but my daddy used to always say that before you starve to death, you go blind first. I don't know if that's true or not, all right? But I've used it all my life. I've told people before, man, it's getting dark around here. We need to eat, you know. It's getting dark. I can't hardly see anymore. You know something? We are concerned about that, are we not? Because we need that. We desire that. But folks, today, the work of God, it's an unfinished work. But it is an urgent work. Is it urgent to you? Is it urgent that we serve the Lord and be used of God? I want to ask you a question. I don't know your life. I don't know what you do. But are you serving the Lord? If the Lord said to you, go work today in my vineyard, would you say to the Lord, yes, Lord, but you never do anything for God? You're just like those religious Pharisees and scribes. But are you today like, yes, Lord, I don't want to go. But God has been dealing with your heart. And you say, yes, Lord, I will go now. Listen, that is where God wants to bring all of us. To where we are serving Him. Look, you may say today, well, Pastor, I can't walk the neighborhoods and knock on doors. The Lord knows that to be true of some of you. You say, well, Pastor, I cannot do certain things. The Lord knows that. But there is always a work to be done. By the way, do you know that the work of prayer is the greatest work that we can do? But so often, we don't have time for prayer. By the way, Oswald Chambers said this. He said, when we work. But when we pray, God works. And brethren, today, there is an unfinished work, an urgent work. But number three, there is a unique work. Now, the idea of the word unique is that it's one of a kind. Do you know that the work of God is unlike any other work? There's no work quite like the work of God. In fact, back in verse number 28, he said, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go work today. And I want you to look at this phrase, in my vineyard. That is what makes it unique. It is that it is the Lord's work. It is God's work. By the way, do you know that really, in a big sense, none of us have a ministry per se? Now, I may say, well, my ministry is to work in the bus route, or my ministry is singing in the choir. We understand that. But you know something, that all the work of God is His work. It is His vineyard. In fact, do you know that as the pastor of this church, this is not my church. We may say that in the sense of, that's where I go to church at, that's where I serve God, but this church belongs to Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, He said that I will build my church. He didn't say He'd build your church. He said He would build His church. And when we understand this morning that the work of God, it's unfinished, it's urgent, but it's unique. It is His work. It is what the Lord does. And by the way, let me say this to you. Are we really giving our time to the work of the Lord? So where does God do His work? We understand He does His work in the hearts of people. But let me say this to you. God is doing His work in and through the local New Testament church. Folks, I want to mark this down. The Lord does His work today through a local Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. His work, listen, He died for the church. You know, so often, sometimes we want to get our own ideals, our own agendas about what we want to do in the work of God. But listen, that may be our work, but it's not God's work. The work of God is what God is doing in and through the local New Testament church. Listen, we ought to love the church. We ought to serve in the church. Some people may say, well, I can't serve. Well, listen, there's plenty for you to do. And through prayer and by seeking God, God will show you what you can do in His work. Folks, the work of God is a unique work. By the way, we must do God's work God's way. Do you know that sometimes people want to run a church like a business? Well, you got to have a business. I don't understand. There's business-like things in a church. Want to keep the right kind of books and everything up front and everything with integrity and all of that. But folks, may I say to you, the work of God is a spiritual work. It is what God does in the hearts and lives of people today. Now, I want to bring you to this. Are you doing the work of God? Now look, I thank God for all of you that are here today. I thank God for your coming. I pray you'll be faithful to church. But do you just come to church? Look here, I wonder about some parents, their children, your children. Do they see you do the work of God? Do they know that you're faithful to the house of God? I wonder what children think sometimes when the pastor preaches about these things and preaches about faithfulness to church, but the children know that you're not faithful to church. What are you showing your children? What are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them that church is really important, that the work of God is the most important thing? Listen, if there's anything else that's more important to us than the work of God, we have our priorities wrong. Brethren, today, the work of God, that is an eternal work. That's a work that's going to last forever. Listen, laying up treasure in heaven, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the work that we must do. And today, where are you at? Are you like that first son? The first son who said, hey, Dad, I don't want to work today. But he repented and did the work. Or you like the second son who said, yes, I'm doing the work of God. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He said, John the Baptist, I sent him to preach. And you said, yes, yes, we're following the Lord. But you were pretending to do the work of God. Today, it is time to go work for your Father. Now, I don't know where the Lord has dealt with you in your heart. But today, let's respond to Him. Let's say, Lord, I want to work for You. Lord, help me to be busy about my Father's business. By the way, I pray that across this community and town, people are telling others about Jesus Christ. People are working, doing the work of God. Let God do His work through your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.